everyone. Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. We are in the only air-conditioned office at Archant Towers on this baking day. Fixture release day. It's like Christmas for Norwich City fans, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, and we're being filmed. That's a first.
How excited are you that there is a 360 camera in the middle of our pod debate?
I'm very conscious of it, so I'm probably going to sit very still for the whole thing and not move a muscle apart from my mouth.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Everyone,
lucky viewers.
Everyone, trail on Pete's face right now. It is myself, Peter Raven, Paddy Davitt and David Freezer here to discuss the fixtures. We all got here at the crack of dawn. It's been a long day. I've never known us to churn out so much content. Paddy, you happy with it?
Couldn't tell you, mate. It's all merged into one. I'm at the end of whatever.
Which is, as we know, always makes the finest podcasts. We've all got the fixture lists printed out in front of us, thanks to Mr. Freezer. Good work. That's more prepared than we will be for the rest of the season. Obviously, it's got to be said that we've only got half of the fixture list on one side of the paper and the other half is on the other side. So we'll maybe do it in two halves. It's probably best. But first of all, then, Dave, I'll come to you first. Your reaction to the fixture list. It's just it's just playing everyone twice, home and away, isn't it?
I've spent most of the day just blankly staring at it and hoping something will sink in. But I think I've realised that it's Fulham away on the first day of the season, despite initially thinking it was Birmingham at home when I accidentally clicked on the wrong thing at 9 o'clock.
Which we did live on the video, so that was good.
So that was a great start. But yeah, Fulham away. I mean, the immediate reaction to that is, what a great opportunity, really. We all know that horrific record at Craven Cottage. If Daniel Farker could break that stupid record, which goes back to New Year's Day 1986, then you couldn't ask for a better start, could you? And you then got three home games, if you include the cup game against Swindon, Sunderland at home, who are in crisis at the moment, and then QPR at home. So potentially you win Fulham. If you can win those other three, you're absolutely off to a flyer.
Yeah, I think my first reaction was God when the Fulham game came out. And I guess what it does, Pad, it helps them dial down the expectations a little bit, doesn't it? Because Norwich fans know what it's like going to Fulham to watch their club play, and they will probably go expecting that, and then it's out of the way.
Well, on one level, but then you flip that, and if Farker goes there and engineers a win, then people will start thinking he's the new Mourinho, because 1986 is a hell of a long time to wait within that. Clearly, they were in different divisions, but you know, it is a ridiculous quirk now that needs to end. And if he's the man to end it, then that's a good statement of intent, really, for what he's going to be all about. But, you know, ultimately, as was proven last season, I think they went unbeaten in the first five, and we all know how that panned out. So I don't think it'll be the be-all and end-all if we're still talking about the Craven Cottage curse on the evening of August the 5th.
Which, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. I guess the thing about, as Pad says, the way that season, last season started, you're not really sure, are you, until a game that looks really tough now might not be really tough once the season gets going. As you say, Norwich are away at Sunderland, aren't they, in April. Now, Sunderland could have a complete nightmare of a season and be 16th and, you know, haven't won, you know, half of their games at home. It could be a completely different fixture, which I guess is all the fun of looking at these in the middle of June.
Yeah, I guess with the three teams that have come down, it's just such a lottery as to how they're going to perform. I'm not sure what Dave's showing Mike.
What are you doing, Dave?
I'm showing the camera.
Oh, I forgot the camera was there.
Put me off.
Sorry. Yes, carry on. Show the people, because they don't want to look at Pete's face.
While Pete talks.
But, I mean, yeah, that getting that bogey game out of the way, if Farker can win that, we'll give him the keys to the city, especially the way that Fulham played down here towards the end of last season. They're a decent side to start against compared to the shower that was Blackburn last season.
Well, it's nothing like people getting carried away, isn't it? There was a tweet in the fans' reaction. Oh, if Norwich beat Fulham, then they're going to win the league. You're saying give him the keys to the city.
When you go there every year, for how many years we've been going, and then just knowing that you're not going to win, even last season when we thought we were going to do it, it's just, it does play on your mind.
I have to say, giving away the two-goal lead last season, we're not going to go over last season again, but that was one of the watershed moments for me when that happened. They could have been top of the league.
I'd given up by then. I'd just sworn I was going to go until we won, and then just gave up.
And of course, Graham Dorrin scored the two goals, didn't he, from the penalty spot? So that's probably another debate for another day. We've got plenty of these coming up. Pad, is through your extensive review analysis, both in words and in face and in audio and in every possible facet of your communicative skills, what is it that is sticking out from all this?
just said to Pete before we started recording, don't like the look of Borough away, Reading away, but that's on a purely selfish miles travelled vibe. But that was within the space of about 4 days, late September. That's going to be fairly brutal for fans more so than for us media types, and I think Sunderland's midweek as well. We already touched on that, haven't we, April? I'd be honest, I haven't forensically gone through and thought, well, that month's harder than any other month as we stand. I mean, we're just discussing the start of it, the back end looks quite challenging as well, and challenging being the key word, because you would hope Norwich are in with a shout when they go to the, well, when they play the Prestons, and I think it's Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday to finish. But yeah, it's that looks a very testing start, I think, not just beyond Fulham, you know, Villa, I think they'll be there or thereabouts, Millwall the following week, newly promoted, going to be full of confidence, the new Den, we all know, is traditionally quite a difficult place. So I think we'll have a better idea come the start of September, really, where this season might be heading.
It does look a tricky start, Dave.
I think the start could have been worse, but the point that Paddy highlights there, when it's Middlesbrough and Reading away in the space of a week at the end of September, and then you go into October after the international break with Hull at home, Ipswich away, Derby home, Wolves away, then Bolton away at the start of November. So I think that's a real testing point, and we'll really start to know how things are shaping up. Perhaps we've all come down to earth a bit now, and we've all accepted how difficult the championship can be. I think the division looks a more even battle amongst most of the teams this year. I think I can't really see it. Maybe Borough, maybe Villa at a complete push, who could run away with it. I think it'll be a fairly close battle. But it's going to be difficult. But once you get out of the other side of those fixtures, I think we'll know where we are.
Apologies to the camera, by the way. I don't know if I keep holding the microphone in your face while it's recording, because I don't know what it's recording. So people may just be seeing a microphone on your face. Are you okay with that, Dave?
Probably an improvement.
Well, you said it. I don't agree. Interesting, though, you both kind of picked up on October, late September and November. If we go through the last two championship campaigns Norwich have had, the wheels come off then. That's basically what we know. It's then whether they recover or not. So it probably is the most testing time. You've got out of the way the initial pre-season optimism. The nights are drawing in. The pitches are getting a bit harder. People are starting to grind out results. As you say, that feels like a key part of the season when we get to it, as well as now.
Yeah, especially when you look at, like I said, Borough, Reading, Hull, Ipswich, which you've got two relegated teams there, and the playoff losers, and then the derby, which we just don't know what's going to happen there. That's going to be, for me, those four games come out of them, significant tally of points. You can look forward to Christmas for a change, but could go all horribly wrong.
Could go. Shall we touch on the derby then? It's a slightly later first game at Portman Road this time, Pad. I mean, we've had to go there in August the last couple of seasons, haven't we? So I think that's, I guess it'll probably add a little bit to the derby, really, that first derby, won't it? Rather than it being early season and no one really knows what we're expecting, and then once again come February we'll be here with taking on Ipswich.
Yeah, I think, as you say, I don't think that did Norwich any favours last season, because it came so early, and they were still adjusting as much as they were stumbling through and picking up results. I don't think they hit their straps at Portman Road that day, and they got a bit bullied, didn't they? It's, you know, closer, I remember, closer and Ryan Bennett. Alex Neil was going absolutely ballistic after 20 minutes of getting battered about by Daryl Murphy, because you know how Ipswich play under McCarthy, get the ball forward as soon as possible. And it was almost a culture shock for some of them lads. But I think by October, any of the new lads who are in the building should know what the championship's all about. And it's then just a case of going there and maintaining this quite healthy from a Norwich perspective run. I think it's 8 games in 8 years and counting.
Yeah. Chances of Carl Lafferty being the man Norwich are trying to arrest?
There's plenty of chatter, isn't there? And we know that's McCarthy's ideal type of striker. So if it is Lafferty, I think I'd rather face Carl Lafferty on my centre back than Daryl Murphy in terms of the physicality. So that wouldn't hold any fears, I don't think, for Norwich.
You've got Joe Garner as well, though. That's two quite big lumps, isn't it, to contend with?
There you go. Two big lumps. You can quote Dave on that one. Christmas is the other point at which people start looking. I'm not going to start talking about Christmas to Paddy, because I know he's lucked out, really, and he can talk about that later. But two away trips, and really busy. It's four fixtures in 10 games, I think, before then the FA Cup weekend, which is January the 7th. So it'll be interesting, A, how Norwich deal with those four games. Brentford at home, then Boxing Day is Birmingham away, the 30th is Burton away before Millwall at home on New Year's Day. Yeah, it'll be interesting how Daniel Farke deals with that, with then his first foray into the FA Cup afterwards.
Yeah, it'll be interesting again to see how another new Norwich manager deals with cup competitions, won't it? I mean, I remember putting it to both Neil Adams and Alex Neil that previous Norwich managers hadn't taken cups seriously enough and that it had annoyed the fans, and both pretty much ignored it. So
they're not listening to you, Dave.
They weren't listening to me. There's nothing new there. But this is all kind of new ground for Daniel Farke, isn't it? And I can't imagine him turning up to any cup competition and just thinking, oh, I can't be bothered with this. I think he's going to relish every game that he's got an opportunity to prove himself in this year, because it's his first year in English football, his first year at a high level as a head coach, and I think he'll want to make an impact, particularly that Swindon game. That's, you know, eminently winnable. They beat Coventry 6-1, was it, at the start of last season, and you had Madison and Canos showing what they could do in that game. So I'd imagine, although we may not see the full strength team, we'll probably get to see those sort of characters in the team. He will very much want to not do anything that's going to break his momentum.
Yeah, and hopefully he'll be a head coach who pays attention to what players do in cup games. I think that's the big thing. And is the manager actually, or the head coach, going to take on what he's watching in those cup games and transpose it into league games? Daniel Farke has kind of said, I'm sure he said it when he first came in, Pad, he'd never had a... He knows that this Christmas period is going to be like something he's never experienced before in management or in football, to be honest.
Yeah, no. And he said it in a positive way, in the sense that almost the Germans had it a bit too easy, and he was looking forward to, you know, something that certainly English football fans, well, everybody connected with English football, just treats as second nature. But I can imagine it must be a culture shock if you're coming from an environment where you do effectively shut down for 2 or 3 weeks. But I think we discussed this very point on the Facebook chat at lunchtime, and because he's got Weber in his corner, and Weber obviously had to go through the same process with David Wagner at Huddersfield last Christmas. Might have been two Christmases they had, I think, at Huddersfield together. So you would think that's where Weber would need to come in and just basically guide him through, as well as if they do go down the route of a British coaching presence in his backroom team. Because, in terms of the management of players and the amount of minutes and the gruelling nature of it, that is going to be a particularly congested period.
You are a Cov boy, so your Christmas is going to be... I'm going to have to make all these trips on my own, or me and Dave together.
You say that, Michael, but there is a downside. I don't think we've had a game I can remember on the 23rd for a few years. That seems to me to be a bit... So normally I would have a week off, so I'm not going to get that. So there's swings and roundabouts, mate. But yeah, I take your point. Boxing, I might be able to have another drink on Christmas Day night, put it that way.
Yeah, good for you. Why not? Make the most of it, I say. Well, we are now, have we all turned over to the second half of the season? Dave's done it there for the benefit of the camera. We've got one. Don't forget about it. So second half of the season, Pete, what'd you make of that? I mean, I guess all eyes usually tend to trail on the run-in, and where would you tend to start the run-in?
Yeah, those final two games, Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, that's quite a short run-in.
Well, right. But two teams that were up there last season. It's tough, isn't it? You don't know what Sunderland are going to do all season. Villa, they've got to do something at some point. I'm going further back now, aren't I? So.
Well, I do feel March looks quite a difficult month. Barnsley, clearly, we don't know what they'll be like. Could be Cam McGeehan's there next season, but Norwich lost to Oakwell last season. Forest, I don't really think we know what we're going to get under Mark Warburton there, but Hull, Reading and Fulham look three teams that you would expect to be right up amongst it next season.
Yeah, definitely. And also, just going a bit further back, Burton on the 30th of December. It's going to be nice and warm on the terraces for the away fans.
Burton, we've already spoken to Kim, who's a Burton fan and Norwich fan. She's a bit worried about the second season syndrome kicking in at Burton, so we'll have to see how it pans out, won't we? Obviously, we flagged it up, Sunderland away trip. I mean, a lot of the fans will be pretty annoyed that Norwich, out of four midweek away games they've got all season, two of them are pretty much two of the furthest places they could go. And it was interesting, Pad, that piece on the guy who helps put the fixtures together and the fixture computer was kind of saying that clubs like to have the best attended games on Saturdays, presumably because they make the most money out of them. And I guess that means, actually, thinking about it now, that the really long trips are probably going to be in midweek because there's going to be a small crowd anyway, I guess.
Well, if that is the case, then that's their logic. But we know there'll be still plenty from Norwich who would want to go to those games. And, you just know because of the level of support this club has that they will turn up there in good numbers. But it's certainly going to be a grueling couple of trips at Sunderland and Borough midweek. Yeah, I'm trying to think what Sunderland like from a media point of view. It has been a bit poor on the old Wi-Fi in years gone by. I'm sounding
food's decent, though, isn't it?
Sadly, first world problems here, but yeah, food isn't
cakes, too. Didn't we?
Oh, don't give away the secrets, Dave. Don't give away the secrets. It's work all the way, but
horrible cakes.
Yeah,
delay, Dave.
I do remember it's right at the back of the stand, isn't it, Sunderland? So April could still be coat weather up there. So, but I mean, the last two. And I'd also add Preston, because although Norwich went there and had a very good result under Alan Irvine last Easter, Preston away, third game from the end, by no means is that a gimme.
No, and again, that game Norwich had last season would have been really tough had Preston still been playing for something. And the key to a lot of these games in the second half of the season will be who's playing for what and how intense things are going to get. Dave, do you want to just give us your verdict on the run-in?
Yeah, well, I mean, last time they went to Sunderland, they did win, of course, 1-3-1. That was a nice one. And back in 2004, they won the title there without... No, they won promotion, didn't they, at Sunderland?
Losing, but that's early season Sunderland and late season Sunderland are two different teams, as we all know.
Well, they were before last season.
Yes.
But they are sharing a division with Norwich, which always seems to spur them on one way or another.
But the that final six games, that's pretty tough. Villa home, Sunderland away, Cardiff home, Preston away, Leeds home, Sheffield Wednesday away, where Norwich lost 4-1 on the last day of the season under Rhoda, didn't they? Huckabee's last game, Dion Dublin's last game, that wonderful reception, and they haven't got a good record at all at Hillsborough, have they? So that final six games does look fairly daunting. If you're not already in the playoff mix by the time you enter that final six, then you're probably not going to be, I wouldn't have thought.
Yeah, I mean, two things I'd probably add there. Cardiff got done quite easily by Norwich. In fact, Norwich did the double over Cardiff, didn't they, last season? But Neil Warnock did a really good job there, turning them from relegation threatened side into comfortable mid table, where they were actually hoping they might even join the playoff picture. Clearly never going to happen, but they will, I think, be very interesting to watch what they do under Warnock next year, because he's there and he's settled. Sheffield Wednesday are interesting, and I think we said this on the Facebook video, didn't we, Paddy? They've had two seasons under Carlos Carvajal where they've pushed really hard, got so close, spent shed loads of money. He's now getting a third season at it, and you know whether he can reproduce that again in the Championship will be really interesting.
There's also just an aside on that, which kind of applies to Norwich, albeit on a slightly lower financial level, that apparently this season is the last one they can have a really massive outlay before the FFP rule kicks in for Wednesday. So it really is now or never with Wednesday, and we know from what's been made quite clear financially for Norwich, it probably also is now or never for this type of approach with this type of players, because if we sat around this table in 12 months time and Norwich are still in the Championship, there's going to be a lot of change. Yes. A lot of change
and not a lot of money, maybe a lot of change out of some money, maybe something like that. Okay, let's two questions then. Shall I say what's the one fixture you're really looking forward to, the one that is exciting you? Shall I go first to give you a bit of thinking time? Mine is on, wait for it, Saturday, September the 16th, Norwich away at Sheffield United. I have never been to Bramall Lane. I'm pretty sure I've said that every time I've spoken in the last few weeks. Pete?
Go on.
It's got to be the first one. The excitement will be there. New team, new manager. Finally do Fulham. 100 goals, 100 points.
Oh my God. You heard it here first. And that's also on video, so that's good, hopefully, if this is working. Pad?
Already touched on, mate. Boxing Day trip to Birmingham. That's about 20 miles from my family house. That's a good night.
You're going to be the only person that says that.
I know. That's why. So that's a good night, Christmas Day for me, then.
That's why he's got the job. Yeah, Pete, that's why he's got the job and the extra Christmas Day beer. Dave?
I like Leeds away. I think it's
no one else is going to say that.
Just for the atmosphere, I think it's the best atmosphere. And the two games last year, a 3-2 at Carrow Road and a 3-3 there, both very good games. Two teams with a little bit of spike between them. The two sets of fans don't especially like each other, but it's a good away day for the fans as well, isn't it? A couple of weeks before Christmas. So yeah, I'll go for that.
And the penultimate game as well is Leeds. If either team got something to play for, yeah, it could be a bit juicy.
Where will Johnny Howson be? That's a big question. Okay, and finally, a dark horse, or the team that you think are, well, you're obviously hoping that Norwich will be pushing next season. Who are the team that you're going to be going, yeah?
Derby.
Oh.
No reason.
Right. No reason, literally.
Just dark horse, Derby. Just Derby. They've been there and thereabouts, haven't they? Tailed off a bit last season, but I think, yeah, there might be something about them this year.
We've got a good manager in charge, Pad.
I'll go even more left field than that. I'll say Sheffield United, based on they're a big club with a big fan base, and they've got that winning momentum. Norwich had it, didn't they, when they came up from League One? You saw what Barnsley did, and they kind of ran out of steam and had to sell some decent players in January. If Sheffield United carry on in the same vein, because I think they pretty much romped League One, so they could have a good season.
Chris Wilder's in charge there as well, isn't he? But that's his team.
I was really surprised to see Sheffield United have been in League One for 7 years. I couldn't believe that.
They couldn't get out.
I would go. I tipped Bristol City as being a potential dark horse last year because they've got a bit of money to spend, but it didn't really happen for them. I think there are several teams in the league who, you know, have got the funds that they should be pushing up there, like your derbies and the relegated clubs. I'm torn between Barnsley or Preston. I mean, Preston were decent last year, and it wouldn't take too much for them. But I don't know. Heckingbottom's got something about him at Barnsley. He's their man, and I do wonder whether they might be a bit inspired by what Huddersfield did. Depends whether they can spend the money that they've got from selling the likes of Hourihane and Bree in January properly. Because as we're seeing with like Marley Watkins turning up at Norwich, and the lad Josh Scowen is doing similarly, leaving because they gave out all these 2-year contracts, didn't they? So it depends how much they can change their squad. Like you say, Cameron McGeehan expected to go there, who's a guy that Norwich fans would be interested in. So I'll stick my money on Barnsley as a dark horse.
I'm finding it much easier to say who's going to really struggle. For example, I think Sheffield Wednesday will struggle to match what they've done the last 2 years. I think that Sunderland are going to be a bit of a mess. I don't think Leeds or Fulham will necessarily, and Reading. I think they're all going to struggle to match what they did last season. But I guess probably it's two, and it could go either way. I think Villa should, with what they did last season, really get it together. And Hull, I think, have made a possibly really decent managerial appointment, but that could go completely balls up, and you know, nothing. Who knows? Could go completely either way. So
I was going to say the opposite. I think that's a dreadful appointment.
Well, yeah, but it could be. And obviously, Lee Darnborough is you know, ready and waiting to come in as their head of recruitment. So, you know, between the two of them, Villa and Hull, one of them will be a dark horse.
That chap, Leonard Sutsky. The last time I saw him with Russia, would that have been the Euros last summer, he was rocking back and forth in the dugout as they were about to go out, and his face was bright red. He does not look like a man who's going to enjoy Tuesday nights in the Championship.
He's just focused, Dave.
He's just meditating.
Yeah, whatever it takes.
I can't see that one.
All right, well, you know, I'm not saying you're not right, Dave, put it like that.
Lucky we had a camera for that one.
Enjoy that. We'll have to clip that out. Okay, I think we're done then. That's the fixtures. We now know who Norwich are going to play. Make sure you get it all synced into your calendar. There is loads of stuff at pinken.com. So if there's anything you feel we haven't covered, go to the website. It is literally going to be there 3 or 4 times in different formats. And congratulations to these guys, because what an effort to get all this stuff out today. A phenomenal, phenomenal effort, really. And I'm sure it'll be like that every week in the Championship season as we get ground into the ground covering Norwich City's season that will no doubt be entirely successful, fingers crossed. We're on the podcast. You can subscribe. Can't remember where you do that.
Pinken.com.
Pinken.com. Yeah, go there and you can subscribe, and you can listen to us throughout the season after each game. And thank you very much, gents. Thank you all for watching and listening. And we'll be back when the action gets underway. Looking forward to Ireland, Pad?
Ireland.
Yeah, we're off to Cove Ramblers.
That's pure work, pure warm. Yeah,
just aviators by the pool again.
Not in Cork, I can assure you that.
That's the Germany tour. Pre-season starts in July. We'll be back then. Oh yes, Dave. Dave's pointing.
People can get their posters in Thursday's papers as well, which there will be loads of around the city, because we're giving away, I think it's 50,000 free copies around Norwich, or around various places in Norfolk tomorrow. So if you want your fixture poster for your wall, tomorrow's your day.
Fantastic. That now means I have to edit this podcast tonight. Cheers, Dave. I better get on with doing that now. Cheers, gents. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.